Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. In this episode, we get to meet United Methodist Bishop Edward Kigai of the Eurasia Episcopal Area that includes Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Belarus, and Moldova. Before becoming a United Methodist pastor, Bishop Kigai studied hydraulic engineering.
Part of my study was nuclear weapons. We were trained to build better missiles to protect our country.
Though originally skeptical of the Christian faith, Bishop Kigai met a missionary and some Christians who invited him to participate in fun events and some meaningful outreach activities.
I never felt so much love and grace and fun. Christian faith is just like that. I want to follow Christ. I want to serve others, and I want to have a joyful life, and I want to be part of something greater.
A quick note before we get started. This conversation was recorded by Fran Walsh, my supervisor at United Methodist Communications. Fran and the bishop chatted during a lunch break at the Wisconsin Annual Conference, and it is fascinating. Meet Bishop Edward Kigai.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
As you know, this podcast is about getting your spirit in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to start by talking about your own spirit. What was your first experience of going to church?
Well, I was in my early 20s when I came to a Methodist church in Moscow. I was a college student at that time. And the first experience, I think it was just overwhelming to see so many good people who just shared their love and friendship and was so open to me. That made the most impression on me, what Christianity is about, because I had a very negative image of Christian faith before I came to church.
Perhaps we should back up and you tell me about where you were born and raised and why it was in your 20s when you went into a church
okay.
the first time.
I was born in Almaty, Kazakhstan, which at that time was part of the Soviet Union. I grew up there until I finished high school, and then I moved to Moscow to study at Technical University. While I was a student, the Soviet Union collapsed. So, I also had a search for meaning in my life, and my friends invited me to church.
And you said you felt love in the church. When did you feel like you wanted to get more involved with the church? When did you come to think you might have had a call to be clergy?
The call to be a clergy came much later, but from the very beginning, the amazing thing was that even though I haven't read the Bible, I didn't know much about Christian faith, but the people there invited me to participate in all kinds of activities, like feeding the hungry or visiting the sick in the hospital or washing windows of the elderly people, anything. I mean, having fun, going to movies and all those activities, and I was so blessed. I mean, I never felt so much love and grace and fun in the church.
And it made you see Christians and Christianity differently.
Right. I thought, well, if Christian faith is just like that, I want to follow Christ. I want to serve others, and I want to have a joyful life, and I want to be part of something greater.
And so then when did the call start that maybe you wanted to actually be a leader in a church?
Well, I never wanted to be a leader. I came to faith because of the missionary from the U.S. who discipled me that year. And I was so just so inspired by through the Bible studies and fellowship and friendship. And after 1 year of being disciple, that friend of mine who is a U.S. missionary, his name is Jonathan Park. He's a pastor in San Diego, California now. He said, well, I'm leaving now. I want you to lead the group, which is the college student group. And I was very shocked because I haven't read the Bible from beginning to end yet. I only knew the basics, but somehow he believed in my abilities and gifts. It was the toughest year of my life, I think, when he left and asked me to lead the college student ministry there. Because I cried and I prayed a lot, and it was very difficult because he was the leader for us and the teacher, the mentor, and the preacher for us, and all of a sudden he's gone. I had to take care of the group of 50 people now learning the Bible and follow Christ. And I thought, man, who am I to do this? I'm just a beginner. But I think somehow God shaped me in so many ways through that experience. And still, it took many years later when I, with encouragement of many of my pastors and friends who are older and more mature, they saw the gifts in me and encouraged me to study the seminary. And even in seminary years, I still was not 100% sure that I want to be a pastor. I thought pastors are holy people who don't eat and don't go to the restroom and do everything right, and I cannot do that. But God had a calling, so I just want to be obedient to God and serve with my life.
So had you done another job before that, or were you just a student? Like, what did you think your career was going to be?
I can share for another 2 hours about that, but briefly speaking, I was studying for hydraulic engineering in my studies. It's a technical university, and in fact, part of my study was nuclear weapons, and in particularly nuclear weapons missiles of the United States Army. So I studied classified material. We signed a contract of not sharing this knowledge with anybody for 15 years. So we were learning the hydraulic systems of U.S. missiles, and we were trained to build better missiles to protect our country. As you know well, we had a Cold War at that time, so my mindset was U.S. is our enemy and we need to protect our country. And so I thought it was kind of cool. I would be working for the developing weapons and, you know, protect our land and things like that. But when I met U.S. missionary, everything has changed, because I realized people don't want to kill us, or they don't hate us. It's just politics, of course, just like today. But people are people, and they want to have families, and they want to build churches and have a happy life, peaceful life. And so I thought, I'm going to work for peace rather than for war. And so I'm very glad I made that choice, and I'm very glad God brought me all these people in my life so I can change at that time.
What do you think about that makes you a better bishop today? What about that life experience of seeing maybe the other side of how things are perceived? How are those skills things you still call on
every
day?
The training in my university was excellent, I think. We had the best brains in the country. One of the professors in my university said, you will forget all the formulas you study now. You will forget all the things that we teach you. But one thing you need to be able to do when you come to a new place, you need to figure out how the system works and how you can improve it. And I think, man, this is very much just like a church. You know, you come to a new place, local church or district or conference, and you figure out how it works, and then your task is to improve it. And I think that's all we do all the time as bishops.
Well, you've certainly said that missionaries make a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
And people who mentor us make a difference.
Right.
How are you messaging that out to the people in your flock? How are you helping people understand that to be United Methodist, these things make a difference?
Well, I emphasize in my area that everybody from layperson to a bishop needs to be a part of a small group. We call it Wesleyan groups, just like in times of John Wesley. So you can have a support group where you can share your soul, you know, just like in John Wesley times. How is it with your soul? What you have been successful about? What have you failed to do? Or what are your temptations in life? All that list of questions that still we have from Brother John Wesley. Today, I believe it's important for us to be a part of that kind of a group of trustful friends. It's a small group, but you need to confess your sins. You need to challenge your friends in a trustful circle as regular as possible. Of course, people are busy today, but I think without that, we have a risk of burning out or losing focus in our ministry. Also, I think conferences help us to be stay in touch with each other and help each other. So I think just like the theme of the Wisconsin conference here where I visit right now, being one with each other, I think that's very important message there, that we are not alone. We need to be together with others to encourage one another and to challenge one another.
Let's talk about where are we right now talking, and what, why are you here? What do you want to say to this group of United Methodists?
Right. Thank you. We are here at the Wisconsin Elo Conference 2018 with the theme One with Each Other. I'm very grateful to Bishop Hsu Chong, who visited Russia many times, encouraged me in many ways. He invited me and my colleague, Andrew Kim, who is a superintendent from Russia, to visit their church. They had a team of Wisconsin leaders visiting us in St. Petersburg just last month, and we had a wonderful time together. Now we are visiting them. We're going to share about context in Russia and our ministries, and invite them to partner with us and visit us in with their mission teams. I think it's important that we build relationships. I think as United Methodists, we are so blessed to have a connectional church. And when we visit each other, serve with each other, shoulder to shoulder, I think our people are inspired, and that's what makes a big difference for us. Also, I think if I can speak briefly in terms of politics, as you know, our governments do not get along very well, and as a child of Cold War, I'm very saddened by that. Some of our people in Russia say it's a Cold War II now, and I think as church, as Christians, we need to send a different message that we are people of faith, we can be friends, even though our governments are not very friendly with each other, but we as a church can continue to visit each other, to build relationships. And we need to message that very strongly, because already I see in last 4 years the number of mission teams to Russia from the U.S. dropped significantly. And when I ask people why, they say, oh, people are afraid to come to Russia because of war in Ukraine or other things. But I'm telling them that being in Russia is just as safe as in the U.S. Same thing happened to Russian people. Russian people say, oh, we don't want to go to U.S. because they shoot guns everywhere in U.S. And so that's kind of the media propaganda works on both sides these days. And so I think we as a church needs to send a different message. I feel safe here visiting U.S. and I feel safe in Russia. And we need to help our teams, mission teams, to overcome that stigma and build relationships. I think once people visit each other and share bread at the table, visit each other homes, there would be nothing to stop them to build relationships.
Is it hard to be a Christian in Russia?
It's not hard, I think, but it's sometimes challenging to be a Protestant in Russia because we are a very small percentage still, and many people do not know much about Protestant faith, and because they do not know, they kind of feel hostile towards Protestants. I think once they know about us and know our faith and our ministries, they are much more friendly and open. But also another, I think, factor kind of underneath all of that is that many people presume that if we are Protestants or Methodists, we are kind of like a branch of a Western church. And because it's a Western, they feel like threatened by the Western influence. And so it's important for us to also explain to people that we are a Russia United Methodist Church, although we are world church, but in Russia we are an entity of its own. And people often ask me, whom do I report to? And I say, well, I'm the bishop of the Russian church. You know, I'm in charge. But say, well, do you report to, like, you know, like Pope in Vatican or something? I said, no. We have a council of bishops, but we are considered to be a body of equal servants. But in Russia, I am the responsible for our church. So that people understand that we are local, but we also global.
So part of why we do this podcast series with the bishops is because I'm afraid United Methodists forget that bishops are also members of the church, have their own spiritual walks.
Right.
maybe don't always see them as other folks on this journey with us. Tell me a little bit more about how you relax from your bishop job or what you do when you want to feed your own soul.
Well, I have two children, two girls, 16 and 4, and I have no better way to relax than hug my 4-year-old baby. Then I forget about everything that burdens me. But in terms of my spirit, I do the reading in the morning, and it could be a devotion from the Upper Room magazine, which we have in Russian also. It can be just a psalm from the Bible or a certain book of the Bible that I study in different periods of my life. And I pray, and I also recently I restarted my journaling habit. I like to write. I have so many book projects in my life that I haven't accomplished yet, but I think writing helps to concentrate and to leave that secular noise behind. So that helps me a lot, and I just write my prayers to God or reflections of what happened throughout the day or the day before, and I pray. I write a prayer for my friends or people in need whom I know. So that helps me to again concentrate and have a quality time with God individually. I also like all kinds of physical activity, although I'm not in a best rhythm of my life as a bishop. I was in the better shape when I was a pastor, since I didn't have to travel much and could visit like fitness club 3 times a week. But now I try to do exercise here in the fitness room in the hotel, or do the walking or running, whatever it takes. I think it's important. You know, as Methodists, especially as bishops, we do sit a lot. So I try to move as much as possible whenever I have time.
That's so great.
Thank you.
How do you stay close to God? I know you've spoken about that a little bit, right. but what other advice could you give us?
I like to read. I think reading what helps me a lot in my spiritual journey. Now, I mean, with audiobooks, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. Now, when I became a bishop, I read a lot on leadership and spiritual growth. And also in my ministry, when I started it in 2013, I asked many conferences and pastors how I can be a good servant for you. And believe it or not, a lot of people said that they feel spiritually burned out. And so I try to practice that myself and also encourage my people to practice individually. Also, we started Academy for Spiritual Formation in Russia at that time with the help of Bishop Hisu Chong and his wife Im when they were in Northern Illinois Conference. So that's where I had my first academy, and I had now I have academy every year in my area where I participate either as a lecturer or as a just as a participant. That feeds my soul when I just can stop and reflect and be in the forest for 5 days. I think that's my, you know, very good quality time, and I recommend it to every person to do a spiritual Academy for Spiritual Formation. Magazines like Weavings, I think from the Upper Room Ministry, also helps me a lot to focus on different topics of my ministry. I like to walk on the nature. I think as an urban guy, we miss that a lot. And so whatever opportunity gives me time. I like Russian landscape when I drive in my car through the fields and fields, just like here in Wisconsin, we have like fields of wheat or sunflower or green pastures. It's cool to stop and just listen to the, what you call that, that sound of a wheat field or it reminds me of God's creation and who created all of us. I think as urban people, many of us who are living in big cities now, we need that quality time.
That was United Methodist Bishop Edward Kigai of the Eurasia Episcopal Area. I hope you enjoyed meeting him through that conversation as much as I did. To hear more from our bishops, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for a section called UM Bishops Faith Stories. Also at umc.org/podcasts, you'll find more Get Your Spirit in Shape episodes and other United Methodist podcasts that you might enjoy. And if you have a moment, write us a review on iTunes or send me an email with your suggestions, comments, or questions. My address is jiovino@umcom.org. Thanks for listening to this episode. I'll be back soon with another conversation to help keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joy Avino. Peace.